one.
Who's the best show here?
That show! That show! That show!
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mind.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Oh boy, everybody.
Episode 205.
Yeah, we're coming. The countdown towards Ohio is underway.
The clock is operating. We are underway.
Right. Have plane tickets and hotel reservations and flag. Get ready.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear
you. Okay, good. I was having some technical difficulties on my old computer. I had to switch real quick.
Yes, this is the Linux Link technical support show. We'll How work through your audio issues from? With you.
Please, Mr. Alien, don't shoot us with your ray gun.
All right.
All righty, you want to get the show on the road here?
Sure.
With us, we have Chad Ricker from ACES Linux Technical Support Group. Chad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
So, Chad, what exactly do you do over at ACES? Could you give us a little background?
Well, basically, your typical, call center employee, you call in, but I handle Linux calls as well as the normal, I'm having a problem, my Windows is crashing calls.
Now, I guess the first question would be, what is your ratio of Windows to Linux calls?
Probably about 99% Windows calls. There really aren't very many people that call in with Linux, but I'm hoping as best I can.
Now, when you get a call in for Linux questions, I mean, how do they compare to the Windows ones? What kind of issues are you looking at?
Usually on the Linux calls, a lot of people are looking for help compiling drivers. And depending on which distribution they're using, we may or may not be able to help them because they take a pretty firm stance on which ones have been tested and logo tested with our products.
Now, let's take a step back a second and let me ask you first off, what is your experience with Linux and how did that qualify you for this position?
Well, let's see. I've been messing with Linux. I started out with SUSE 9.2, I think it was, about a year ago, and just started messing around with it. One of my buddies gave it to me, and it wasn't my cup of tea, so I downloaded Fedora Core 6 and fell in love with that one. Since then, I've been trying to learn as much as I could about it, found different podcasts, got different books, checking not all the Linux websites I could, trying to learn as much as I could, as quick as I could. Throw it on my resume and, watch my boss's eyebrows raise a little bit when he saw it.
Chad, where do you work out of exactly, if you don't mind asking?
No, that's fine. We are located in Jeffersonville, Indiana. We're
good to know.
The,
Asus is an international company, right? They're what, a German manufacturer? But I know they have facilities in the Far East.
Actually, they're Taiwanese.
Get it right, Pat. Do your homework. What's wrong with you?
I'm looking at my motherboard manual, and it says it's got a German address, it's got a California address, and they also got Taiwan.
Yeah, you picked the winner there.
Taiwan is the home office.
So, what distributions does Asus support?
Well, last I checked on our website, we had Red Hat Enterprise, we had SUSE, we used to have Turbo Linux up there, but I think they've gotten rid of that one. Mostly it's the ones that are, selling them as the Enterprise Linux.
So, if I call up, and I get you on the tech support line, and first off, you're going to tell me to reformat my hard drive, aren't you?
Do we have to start now?
Well, I call you up and I say, look, man, I'm using Fedora. But that's not one of your officially supported distributions now, is it?
No, it's not.
But you use Fedora. And
right.
I'm sure you use Fedora on Asus equipment. Now, would you be able would you be able to give me support, or would you have to say, I'm sorry, that's not a supported distribution?
I can support it up to a certain point, but as far as being able to actually set up a test system and get hands-on testing on it, that's really limited if it's not on the OS compatibility list on our website here. You can check it out if you go to www.asus.com and you go to products, go down to motherboards, and it's one of the options down on the left below the member site link.
So now I'm going to ask
you... OS compatibility.
I'm going to ask you another question. Why OS compatibility with Linux when essentially underneath all the different versions of Linux... They use the same tool sets, pretty much the same kernel, maybe some patches to them, but that really shouldn't make too much of a difference. What's your opinion on that? Why?
Yeah, that's just the stance the company takes. We've got, on the official list I'm looking at right now, we've got Fedora, SUSE, Red Hat, Mandrake, and then there's the other category. I don't know what other exactly comprises of, so if it says other, I'll be like, yeah, I can help you with that.
That's Slackware and Arch. And well, do you guys support Ubuntu?
One where I had to set up Gentoo on one of our boards. It didn't go well.
Now, do you guys support Ubuntu yet?
Not officially, but I've messed with Feisty Fun, and I'm pretty good with it. So I can usually answer most questions. If I can't answer them, I know where to look for the answer.
I don't recall hearing Linspire or Zandros in that list.
No, they're not on the list.
Huh.
Yeah, but most hardware manufacturers, officially, they say they support Red Hat and SLED, usually.
Yeah, that's two of the major ones.
Those are like the enterprise distros.
Yeah.
Can we get a little more background on the Asus company here? Because when I think of Asus, I don't so much think of computers as much as I do computer components. Because they're a big manufacturer of motherboards and other types of peripherals, are they not?
Yes, that's right.
And do they not support...
Dan, can I just jump in? It's funny you say that because I think you own an Asus laptop. That System 76 laptop you own? I think that's an Asus laptop.
Yeah, I believe it is. It's a rebranded Asus laptop. I would not doubt it. I recall about 8 or 9 years ago, we got Asus computers in a place that I used to work. No, that was Acer. Anyway, doesn't Asus make a lot
make
of the...
your mind, Dan.
Yeah, doesn't Asus... Don't they make a lot of the same parts that are used in other major brand computers?
Yes, they sure do. And if you've got a Compaq computer, if you've got an HP computer, if you've got a Dell computer, your motherboard is most likely an Asus motherboard.
So what separates an Asus computer from a Dell computer other than the brand?
Well, the motherboard that we make for them is a special OEM motherboard. We have a lot of people trying to call in and ask us for drivers, but that's not really anything that we can help. Because once we make the OEM product and hand it over to HP or whoever, it's up to them to write the drivers and documentation for it. And we no longer support that product. So the only ones that we actually support are the ones that you'll see listed on our website.
So how different is, like, when you manufacture an OEM product, how different is that from, say, an Asus motherboard? A standard motherboard. I mean, are we talking different chipsets, or I mean, is it that significantly different?
Well, a lot of times I've checked them out. I've tried to Google them and compare them and stuff. And from what I understand, a lot of them are like substandard motherboards.
Oh.
So we have a certain hierarchy of the motherboards, with the X series being the lowest. Then there's the standard model. Then there's above that, there's Plus, Deluxe, Premium, and then you get to Workstation and Server Boards. Well, you'll see something -LA or -LE, and that's usually an HP OEM. It's Light Edition, and it's lower than the X Series from what I understand.
So, are you saying that the OEM boards are of an inferior quality compared to the Acer motherboards, or you're saying that in general there's not necessarily inferior, but there's a lower quality all the way up to higher quality, you know, price ranging going from, you know, the $25 motherboard all the way up to the, you know, $1,000 motherboard? And the OEMs,
it's not really the quality of the motherboard, it's the features you'll find on the motherboard.
Uh-huh.
Like the X series, it will have maybe two memory slots, whereas one of the Deluxe will have four memory slots or more SATA connections on the Deluxe.
Okay. So then, and I'm kind of going somewhere with this, and I'm going to back you into a corner probably, and that's not my intent, but Asus supports Linux, and so what I'm wondering is by default, then doesn't that make it easier for these other companies to be able to support Linux on their systems, because Asus already has, you know, the motherboard working with certain distributions? It makes it a lot easier for them to roll over into saying, yes, we can support Linux. In your opinion.
Right, that should make it easier for them. Are you speaking of Compaq and HP and those companies?
Correct.
Yeah, it would make it really easy for them to support Linux, since most of their components are our components. But for some reason, I don't know if you contacted HP lately and said, I have Linux on my computer, but you'll immediately get this guy going in a loop saying, sorry, we don't support Linux. Sorry, we don't support Linux.
Understandable. Understandable. Now, so now we can get back to questions about the support calls that you take. The support calls you take for Linux systems as compared to Windows systems, do you feel that you're generally speaking to a more tech-savvy person with regards to Linux phone calls?
Definitely. I've never had a Linux call where the guy didn't know his hardware.
So generally when a Linux person is going to call you, they have some serious hardcore tech question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where
usually it's usually it's something along the lines of helping them compile the drivers or reporting that, hey, this tarball is corrupted or something like that.
And how does that compare then? Like, what is a typical Windows call for you?
Windows call. A lot of those, they'll be calling in and they'll have a hard drive that they pulled off of another computer or something, tried to hook it up to their new motherboard. Well, that doesn't work with Windows because Windows writes the information about the chipset on the motherboard into the registry, and it'll freak out when it sees a new chipset that's not labeled in its registry. So you have to wipe the hard drive and reinstall Windows operating system unless you find an identical chipset. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. A lot of calls come in wondering, why ain't my computer working? And that's what we got. A lot of people, they're not happy about it, but that's just how it is.
Wow.
In most Linux distributions, you can't actually take the hard drive and move it from one motherboard to another, unless you're using like one of the source-based distributions, which, of course, you tailor to your hardware.
Wait a minute. Did you just say most Linux distributions, you can't take your hard drive from one system to another?
Yeah, because I've taken a hard drive off of a board with an NVIDIA chipset, plugged into a board with an Intel chipset, booted right up. Try that with Windows, and I guarantee you'll see that magical little blue screen.
Oh, you said you can. I thought you said you couldn't. Okay. I misheard you there, because I was going to say I've done that a lot. Yeah, you're right, and that is a sweet, sweet thing. That's a sign of quality there. And that's the sign of quality I would expect Asus to back.
Hey, Chad, we got a question from the RC. One of the guys here, Strolls, is asking, does Asus support Linux BIOS on any of their motherboards? If no, why? Could they change in the future? Even if it's not supported, will it at least be possible to use Linux BIOS on Asus motherboards currently?
Right now, the BIOS is an Asus proprietary thing. I've asked the BIOS department about that. They said that normally, no, they won't do that, but if they have somebody send them a copy of the BIOS file, they can flash it onto one of our chips. That's not something they normally do, though.
I figured a guy like you would have, the hotline straight to the president of Asus to be able to bend his ear and get this stuff done, right?
Well, it's not always that easy. With any company, it's politics.
So Asus is, I can see, is probably a very large company. You work out of Indiana. Well, I'm curious, how did you get hooked up with Asus to begin with?
Yeah, it was kind of dumb luck, I guess. I happened to be looking for a job at the moment and had some military experience, had some experience working with a local internet service provider, and they were looking for somebody that could, you know, that was pretty tech savvy, that they could train on the hardware really quickly. And I guess I fit the bill.
And now, how long have you been working for Asus?
It's going on 5 or 6 months now.
And Chad, let's take another step backwards. How did you get involved with computers to begin with?
I helped out a little bit with fixing people's computers. My brother really got into it in high school, and he started showing me, so I got into it. And, of course, first experience was Windows. So we learned Windows. I actually got my Microsoft Certified Professional, which is really not something that does you a lot of good unless you have experience to back it up. But, I carried that, and I went to the Army, and I got quite a bit of experience there. And I come out of there and, started working for the ISP. After that, they started downsizing, so my job went away. So I've got a couple of years behind me.
Now, I'm kind of surprised, you know, sometimes you get a little surprised because a lot of companies kind of outsource their tech support to India or, you know, some of the Southeast Asian countries. And ASUS is actually, you know, retained some tech support out there in Indiana. And has that been a threat to your job, maybe outsourcing, or is that not a threat?
No, not really. Actually, ASUS did outsource their tech support, seeing as they're a Taiwanese company.
Right.
But they got an office in Germany, and they got an office in California, an office in Indiana. So they've got them dotted throughout the world. If you go to www.asus.com, you'll see all of the different locales they've got. They may not necessarily have an office in that nation, but they've got one somewhere in the area.
Is that how the calls get routed, based upon where you're calling from?
That's right. We handle calls from Canada and the United States.
Now, do you ever try and talk with, like, a thick, heavy Indian or Southeastern accent just to throw people off?
Hello, this is Chad. I may help you.
Unfortunately, I can't pass off that accent. I've got too much of that Kentucky twang in my voice.
So how busy are you on a daily basis? I mean, with answering tech support calls?
Well, in the morning, starts out a little bit slow, but probably about the time everybody's taking their lunch, it picks up and it stays busy pretty much till the end of my shift.
So, like, the end of your shift is coming up. So, like, you say it's like, you. What are your hours of work? 8 to 9? 8 to 5, 9 to 6. So, you know, you get, I guess, an hour unpaid lunch, huh?
Yeah.
Now, are you salaried?
That's right.
Well, here I am asking all these personal questions. Oh, man, your salary. Woo! So you get that call at 5:45, and it's a doozy, and you're stuck there till 8 o'clock at night? No overtime,
well,
huh?
It depends. If it's a Linux call, then I'm stuck on it until it's done with. But if it's a Windows call, I can pass it up to the next level. If it's beyond me or if the call is taking way too long, they'd rather have us knocking out some of the easier calls and then passing the harder ones up so we can try to help everybody. See, our goal is to keep everybody from having to wait more than 10 minutes.
Okay, so... you get a Linux call in. What level of support are you?
Well, Linux is... for Windows calls, I'm like level 1 support. But for Linux, if it comes to me, it basically ends with me because there aren't very many people there that know how to deal with Linux.
Uh-huh.
So if I get a Linux call, I can stay on the call as long as I need to get the issue resolved. Or I can start corresponding by email if it doesn't appear that it's going to be resolved anytime soon.
Or you could just SSH into their system, right?
I wish they would let me do that, but the Windows admins don't like stuff like that.
Ah. Let me get, you're probably stuck on a Windows machine at work, aren't you?
Unfortunately, we get Windows XP.
Lucky you. So... how many other?
Could have been worse. We could add Vista.
Yeah. How many people in your branch do Linux support, or are you the only one?
There are about 3 other people there that know how to use Linux. As far as I know, I'm the only one that the Linux calls roll into. They're set on a higher priority than normal calls. So, if there's a Linux call sitting in queue and we've got 10 people in the Windows queue, the Linux call will automatically roll into me.
That's the way it should be. They should have top priority when you have a Linux call. Because that means something's wrong.
That's how it is. Yeah, that's how it is.
So, now, what is your... what is your region of support? I mean, are you supporting... you said all of the United States and Canada. Are you the only office that supports those regions?
Well, yeah, we're the only ones that support the U.S. and Canada, but we frequently get calls from all different countries. I mean, tech support is basic tech support in the other countries. We handle the bulk of the calls for ASUS.
So, again, how many people work with in your building?
In the building?
I mean, how many people are in your area are handling tech support calls, like, in your building, where you work?
Well, in my area right now, we've got, at any given moment, say, 25 to 30. It's not really as big as you would think, but they're expanding. They've got enough room to expand three times that easily.
So you got like 30 people handling all the calls for the United States, and you're the one guy that handles all the Linux calls for the United States and Canada, right?
Well, for everywhere in the world. I've had them from England, and I've had a few from Europe.
Wow.
I haven't had any from Asia, surprisingly.
So have you gotten a call from a Pakistani guy who complained that you had a accent that was hard to understand?
Actually, no. I haven't heard that one. It would be,
that would be
pretty
like poetic.
Yeah.
Understand this English speaking one.
So, I got to stop saying so after this, because I always say so way too much. Chad.
So.
Anyway, that's what I'll say. Anyway, we're probably going to deviate from the Linux support calls here for a minute, but what is like the most ridiculous support call you've ever received?
So, we frequently get people calling in saying that, you know, this program's crashing or that program's crashing, and it's somehow the motherboard's fault. Most of the time, those are quick calls, but sometimes we'll get somebody that wants to argue, and it'll be like, that is a program. The program runs on the hard drive, not on the motherboard. The hard drive is Windows.
All right. I guess one of the big things on everybody's mind... Everybody's mind. ASUS comes out with that Triple E PC or work. Whatever. What is that? What is? I should have paid more attention.
Which one exactly are you talking about?
It's a flash-based laptop.
Yeah, the EEE. What is that, Pat? The EEE what?
I posted about it today. It's not out yet. It's coming out pretty soon, though. The ASUS EEPC.
EEPC Ultra Portable.
Yeah, we don't really do the laptops here. Those get forwarded to the California office. The bulk of our calls are motherboards. We also do the wireless router calls to a certain extent, CD and DVD-ROM calls. Just trying to think if there's anything else. We get bare bones calls in.
So if they call about a Linux... A laptop running Linux, would you get that call?
Yes, I would probably get that call.
Well, you better bone up on...
I would be very limited on what I could do with it.
You better bone up on your products there, man.
We don't have the specs for.
Because ASUS is going to be selling an ultra-portable PC with Linux installed on it. You don't know about that? You know about that, right, Chad?
Yeah, a lot of stuff like that we don't hear about until the last minute.
Oh, that's good.
They're trying to work on that, though, to get the information to us quicker so that when somebody calls, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's this and this and this. And,
are you looking for...
Yeah, sometimes it's a little slow coming down the pipes.
How do you feel about that? Not slow coming down, but obviously you've heard about it. What's your opinion of the EE-702?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really a big... fan of flash memory. I mean, a memory stick's fine, but unless they figured out some way to get around the flash it 100, like 1,000 times or something, and it dies, I mean, you're going to be replacing flash cards left and right.
Yeah, you got a point there. That's one thing that came
up
in discussion.
I'd like to see one. So Chad, we're gonna be you know, calling on you to get us one of these things to test out.
Yeah, I gotta get one first.
Chad said he's gonna get one for each of us. Compliments of Aces.
There you go. I got a question for you, Chad. As far as like hardware that you support, obviously, do you have like any hands-on with time with these products, or it's just strictly off like a database answer list? You know, common problems.
Well, if it's something that seems like it's going to be a little difficult, and if it's a high priority customer, like we'll get resellers who will easily, you know, run thousands and thousands of our products a day out to customers. If we get a reseller and they're having a Linux problem, that's one that I'll have the set up on my desk. You know, we'll stick a piece of foam on the desk, set the motherboard on it, set a CD-ROM on the desk next to it, you know, hook everything up basically on the bench. And they'll try to load whatever operating system they want on it. Try to figure out whatever they're asking me to do.
So then, if I called you up and I had a problem with Ubuntu on a specific motherboard, you would actually sit there and load Ubuntu up on that motherboard?
It really depends. Usually, if it's something simple, I can just pull it out of my head because I've played with Ubuntu for a while. And I can usually, if I can't think of it right off the top of my head, I'll always check the Ubuntu forums for that. Or I'll Google for it. You can find anything in the world on Google.
Okay, so I'm running Arch Linux over here on my Asus system, and something's getting quirky with the motherboard. I call you up. You're going to Google it for me, right? Because you don't use Arch, do you?
Well, Arch, it really depends on what's going on. Like, if it's something that's hardware-based, that's mainly what we do is support the hardware. If it's an error, like instability and stuff like that, we usually start checking RAM and stuff like that.
Cool. Now, if I call you up, do you ever say, can you pull out your diagnostic disk and run the Asus diagnostics? Does Asus make a diagnostic disk?
Well, unfortunately for Linux, there's no Asus software that runs currently. I don't know if they're planning on porting it over for Linux or not, and there's really not a diagnostic even for the Windows computers. They have the PC Probe, which monitors the system, monitors the voltages, the heat inside the case on the processor. They've got the AI suite, which usually is used for overclocking. And they've got the Q fan, which I believe is just automatically built into the motherboard now. It used to be special software you had to use, and it slows the fan down when your computer's not using a lot of processor, so it's not generating a lot of heat.
So on your systems at home, are they Asus-based computers?
Yep, I have one compact Presario 2100. It's an ancient laptop, but it runs Fedora 7 like a top. And I've got a relatively new HP Media Center computer, and that runs Fedora 7 pretty well as well. I have a little trouble with the NVIDIA display adapter sometimes.
Now, that media computer come with Windows XP Media Edition?
Yes, that's right.
And what have you done with that?
I keep that on there because I like to play Halo, but... Hey, that's what Microsoft's good for, is games.
Have you tried running Halo under Wine or Sega?
It doesn't work.
No?
I have tried it.
Well, you gave it the effort. That's all that matters.
I sure did. I tried Wine, I tried Sedega, I tried Crossover Office, nothing going.
They really stick you there, don't they?
Yeah, sure do.
Now, was a Media Center computer designed to do like a... What separates a Media Center computer from regular computers?
Well, the Media Center computer usually... It's got like a TV tuner, it's got a FM tuner, It's got all sorts of capture cards and stuff like that. This one's got a pretty decent graphics card in it. It's got DVD-ROM, and then it's got a DVD-RAM drive with LightScribe. It's pretty good. It's got a built-in USB card reader, hot swappable bay for USB hard drives.
Have you tried playing around with, like, Myth TV or any of the TV tuner programs or capture programs?
That's one of the things I'm having trouble with. I'm not having much luck finding drivers for this TV tuner card.
What is it?
That came in this is a Kinextant Falcon 2, which is really hard to find anything on it, even on Google. Everything I see is, like, Hopog.
How's that spelled? Do you know?
C-O-N-E-X-A-N-T. Usually when you Google them, you'll find these old wind modems, these old dial-up 56K fax modems and stuff like that. I found a few forums here and there where somebody might mention a TV tuner card, but nobody seems to be able to find the drivers for them.
Do you know what the chipset number is?
That I am not sure. And I'm on the Windows side right now, so I can't find it out.
Oh!
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, well, it was a quick fallback. I was playing Halo and pulled up the laptop, and somehow I dialed in and I couldn't get you all to hear me. I could hear you all fine, so it was one of those quick workarounds.
Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't want to keep you all waiting. I had to do what I had to do, you know?
Yeah.
Not a problem. Huh. Let me see here. Huh. Coax and chipsets.
Trolls is bugging me to ask Chad a question.
Tell him shut up. We're busy fixing his problem.
Shut the hell up, Chad. No, seriously. Trolls wants to know, how openly does Asus advertise Linux as a supported as a driver support operating system on their products, motherboards, wireless cards, network adapters, etc. Example, I have an Asus SpaceLink wireless card where it says in a box that Linux supports this card.
I don't really think that a lot of them will say Linux support this card. Most of the time when we have drivers for Linux, that's because the chipset manufacturer has provided the drivers. So you grab an Intel chipset on the motherboard, well, you're more likely to find drivers because Intel has open sourced a lot of stuff. So if you've got an NVIDIA, you may or may not have the Linux drivers that you need.
What model is this media computer? Come on, Chad, you're not giving me enough to go
it
on.
Let's see, where is it? There it is. It is the HP Media Center PC M7590N.
Alright, go back
HP's
to answer.
HP's pretty stingy with their stuff. I'm having a really hard time getting anything out of HP as far as it goes.
Okay. You can go back to Troll's question. Now that we care anymore. Why are we having dead air? Pat, ask some questions here. I'm busy.
What are you looking to get, Dan? A Mythbox?
No, I'm looking at the. I'm trying to find the chipset of the TV tuner card on there.
Oh. Okay.
The model. The model of the chipset.
Verbal wants to know. what is the biggest compatibility problem? Video, sound, serial ATA?
It really depends. If the chipset is NVIDIA or ATI, you're going to have a lot more trouble getting it to work with Linux. NVIDIA is usually so-so. ATI, not really so much. I really don't recommend ATI or NVIDIA if you're looking to install Linux. Now, the NVIDIA graphics cards, they do work pretty well. But I would stay away from the P5Ns or the M2Ns or stuff like that, or the and the AMD processors, the M2As and stuff like that. Those will be the ones with the proprietary chipsets, and it's not going to be so smooth installing and getting it up and running.
Link, ask some questions. So, do you have your friends and family using Linux yet?
Say again?
Do you have your friends and family using Linux yet?
I've tried. They don't seem to want to do it. The father-in-law's computer died, and I got this old HP Pavilion, had like a Pentium still around in it. I threw Debian on it, threw a bunch of games on it, took it over there, and I said, here you go, you can play with this for a while, but he didn't like it. Most of my friends and family that have computers, my family, my brother's a hardcore Microsoft guy, and he's totally, like, pukes every time I mention Linux around him. And yeah, pretty much everybody else, my mom and dad, they're just used to Windows. They're not comfortable with anything else. They don't want to mess with it.
Verbal wants to know, what other products does Asus make besides motherboards?
I went through a few of them earlier. We've got a pretty good variety of products. We've got audio cards, barebone PCs, different products for broadband connections. We've got graphics cards. We make monitors, mobile phones, motherboards, of course. Notebook computers, optical drives, PDAs. We make the physics cards. We make servers. We make different heat sinks that you can use. We get some really nice thermal solutions out there. We've got wireless routers and wireless adapters. And I believe we've got some TV tuner cards in there. I think I saw them when I was browsing through our latest product magazine.
Yeah, the last motherboard that I bought that faces is my MythBox. I have one that's pretty nice. I like it. It's a Mini ATX. And it's got an NVIDIA video chipset on it. And everything works pretty well on it. I can't complain. I didn't have to download any drivers or anything special. Just did a regular, you know, install, and it works great.
Yeah, that's good. A lot of times NVIDIA will give you problems, especially on the chipset. I got a whole bunch of distros that Colonel panicked on a P5N SLI. I was trying to set up Gen 2, and that didn't go so well.
The one that I have, I think it's got a 6150 NVIDIA card.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
You know...
Yeah.
Did you get the one with the HDMI connector?
No, it's got component out bracket, though. No HDMI.
Probably like the M2A-VM.
Yes, I think that's the one.
Oh, NVIDIA, M2N-VM, NVIDIA.
I'll tell you which one it is. Give me a second. It's the, let's see. It is the Asus M2N-PV-VM. Exactly. Mini ATX. and it's got a bracket for the video app, my demolition component.
Mm-hmm.
And I also picked up an SPDIF bracket for the optical out. So that works too.
You're familiar with the LSPCI command, right?
Somewhat. I've used it once or twice. It was when I first started, and I was trying to figure out what was on this laptop, and I didn't really know what to make of it.
Run that on your media PC when you get a chance. Get the chipset, the exact chipset number, model number for your Conexant. How's that pronounced?
Conexant.
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 C-O-N-E-X-A-N-T. Yeah, get the model of that, because there are a bunch of Conexant chipsets that are supported under Linux, and I'm wondering if it might be the CX8800 module. But there's the CX25840, CX88 series, CX2341 series. I'm wondering if it might be supported by one of those. It's worth a shot. If you go under, do you know where you know where your modules are located, right? You run a Fedora, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Just go to lib modules, your kernel version number, kernel drivers, media, video, and that should have all your video for Linux device modules under there. And you, I don't know why it wouldn't be picking it up automatically, but you might want to try and load some of those in by hand. We have your email address somewhere, I think. I'll email you some articles that I found on it.
All right, that'd be cool.
If I don't get too high tonight and crash my computer.
Pass out in front of the computer.
As if pass out my own vomit. We'll get hate mail for that one. We haven't gotten a lot of hate mail in a while that I'm aware of. So
what are you trying to do, Dan? You're trying to get the natives restless and annoy them?
Yes. What natives?
Just the figure speech.
You're making me paranoid, Pat.
Well, you're getting paranoid from doing other things.
From drinking this fine Bavaria beer. Holland.
What are you doing, Dakota Kick again or something?
Oh, it's
Dakota Kick.
It's an import. It's Bavaria from Holland.
The Dakota.
Speaking of Holland and all that, is the daily source code still on?
I don't have no clue. I haven't listened to that in years.
No.
Yeah, like 2 years for me. No. Ever since it started sounding like a morning show.
Yeah, exactly. Morning radio show.
Z100. That's what it turned into. I mean, it was like really interesting there for a while. You know, it was like there was, you know, he was actually talking about things, and then it became, you know, my wife and I in our life, and then it was like the morning show, and I said, the hell with this shit. That's just me. Your mileage may vary.
And there goes our, you know, G rating for the night, too. Alan's got to start playing with the dirty words again.
You guys have any more questions for Chad?
Yeah, Chad. You're in Indiana. Are you going to the Ohio Linux Fest?
Yeah, I've already got my reservations and my hotel and everything.
All right. Cool.
Well, I better not see you there, because if I see you there, I'm going to kick your ass.
Don't worry about him. He says that to everybody.
For making such a damn good Asus computer.
On, right?
That's going to be great. Where are you staying, Chad?
That I really can't remember. I've got it saved in my email.
You better find out, because you don't want to get there and forget. That would stink.
So everybody, you know, we're going to have the Asus booth right next to ours, right?
I have one more question from Trolls before he has an aneurysm. He's writing little dissertations here, multiple lines.
What did you say? He's going for like the whole paragraph and a half of stuff.
Yeah, seriously, he seems a little grouchy today. But
are you talking about Trolls?
Chad.
actually have to cut and paste because that's like the fourth.
Well, before you ask Troll's question, because nobody cares about Troll's question right now. Because he's going to like that one.
So
Chad, I think I deleted your email. Send us another email so I can send you some of these links. But don't tell me your email online unless you want everybody emailing you, which that's your choice.
Right.
Yeah, so just send us another email so I can send you some of these links. And go ahead. Now you can ask Trolls question, Pat.
Trolls wants to know, Chad, does working with proprietary drivers make your support job more difficult?
Sometimes it depends. A lot of times we're limited to what we have. Like if we got a board where they just didn't provide us with Linux drivers, we just gotta say, you know, sorry, there's nothing I can do because we just don't have the drivers. I can suggest that they visit NVIDIA or ATI and check them for Linux drivers. I know NVIDIA keeps a good, well, I don't know if it's a good Linux driver, but they keep some Linux drivers on their site.
Awesome.
All righty then. Well, Chad, thanks for coming on and giving some insights on how a company like Asus supports Linux. That's good stuff.
Yeah, we're not kicking you off, Chad. You can stay on as long as you want.
Yeah, we're just going to go on to other topics.
We're done with Asus.
No,
we're done with Asus. We're done with Asus.
So Dan, how do you like your Asus laptop?
I just threw it out the window after talking with Chad. No, I love it. It works beautifully, and I'm really, you know, when they come out with that EE PC, I would really be interested in looking at getting one of those. It looks really good. I'm very impressed. And Asus has a decent reputation. Weren't you looking at... Didn't you build your own laptop?
No. I was looking into that.
They were like Asus-based, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a website. It's a company based out in California. They sell, like, Asus bare-bone laptops. I think the only thing that you get a slap in there is, like, a processor and, like, a hard drive. But there's vendors that sell Asus, you know, rebranded Asus laptops, including System 76 is one. There's also R-Cube. There's a couple other ones, too, that do the same thing. They'll give you, you know, an option of Linux pre-installed, no OS, or Windows, whatever you want.
What would you choose, Chad? Linux pre-installed, Windows, or no OS?
I would go with one with no OS. I'd rather do my own installation. Usually, I don't know, if you can get it without the OS, you should be able to save a little bit of money. But I guess that doesn't really matter with Linux.
Then you would install Fedora on there, right?
Of course. I love Fedora.
What version of Fedora are you running right now? The latest?
I've got Fedora 7 running.
I hear the artwork on that is spectacular.
It is really nice. I love the little hot air balloon that they got going in the background. They got a picture of about 3 hot air balloons, and it says Fedora, and it looks like it's mirrored onto the water. It's really nice. I got Barrel up and running. It's really smooth here. Especially on this old laptop, that really surprised me.
What you're running Barrel, right? You just said?
Yep.
You know, that reminds me. A lot of people have gotten back to me and said, why haven't you tried Compiz Fusion recently? Because my previous experience with Compiz Fusion was a bit of a pain in the ass. Well, I got around to trying out Compiz Fusion again today. I slapped it on my system at work, and it's come a long way. It's on my system at work now. It is significantly faster than Barrel was, crisper, smoother. But now I installed the Ubuntu. I put into Ubuntu Feisty Fawn repository and installed the packages for that. And here is my problem. And I haven't been able to thoroughly fix it to my liking. I went and I had Beryl already on this system and Compiz from the Ubuntu repositories. So I started out by removing Compiz. And I installed the Compiz Fusion packages as per the wiki installation guide. And it became extremely frustrating because when I switched to Compiz and I started, you know, applying all the different special effects and different things that I wanted to try out, like the flame writing on the screen, the Atlantis screensaver inside the cube, so I can see the fish and the whales swimming around and the dolphins and the sharks in the middle of my cube. And I tried all these things. It would not work. For some reason, none of these things were working, even though I checked them. The Compiz Fusion Manager that I had complained about not existing before, it exists now, and it's beautiful. It is wonderful. I like it better than the Beryl one, the Beryl Manager for our preferences. Oh, it is so sweet. So anyway, so I'm messing around with these things. So I drop down to the command. I'm like, well, I don't know why I would have to restart Compiz Fusion to have this work. So I tried it out. I went to the command line. I typed in Compiz --- replace and the ampersand, and it came up. And all of a sudden, I started having these effects, and things were looking pretty good. I had the Atlantis in the center. I can do the lightning storm on the desktop. I can write with flames on the desktop and do all cool different things. But I wasn't getting any window decorations, right? I had no, window bar that I can click on and move the window around the screen. It was really frustrating and annoying. Yep. So I logged out, logged back in to X, and I'm back to where I was before. Compiz is running, but I don't have all these extra features. Well, anyway, long story short, it comes down to the fact that I can't have Beryl Manager running. Because if I do have Beryl Manager running, even though I'm not using Beryl, and I start Compiz from Beryl Manager, it, for some reason, a lot of the effects are limited. And I haven't been able to figure out why yet, because, you know, I didn't want to spend a lot of time dicking around with this at work. Because I had work I actually had to do that wasn't related to playing around with a 3D desktop. Yeah, damn it. So for some reason, if I had Beryl Manager running, it would not work. So then I had the issue of, well, I want Compiz to start up automatically. So I got rid of Beryl Manager, and I logged out of X, logged back in, and Compiz would start, but I'm still not getting the right Compiz. Like, I don't know what's going on, but the Compiz that runs, even though I removed Compiz, I removed Beryl, the Compiz that runs is, like, for some reason, crippled. It's Compiz, but it's more like Compiz GNOME, because there's another way I can start this up, and there's a Compiz GNOME tray icon, which allows me to turn on and off Compiz or the GL desktop, but the preferences on that are like a subset of the Compiz preferences. And even though if I have all the Compiz preferences I want enabled, if I run the Compiz GNOME, it just for some reason disables all the flashy things that I want, and it doesn't work. So I can't run that. I have to, when it starts up, I have to have it automatically run Compiz --- replace, which starts the Compiz with all the features that I want. I have no idea why. I'm still looking into it, but it's really sweet and flashy. So I'm frustrated because I don't have any window decorations when I start it this way. And I'm dropping down to the terminal, and I'm typing in GTK, window decoration, replace, and all sorts of things. No matter what I try, I cannot get the damn window decorations to load in. And finally, sure enough, after dicking around for a while, I learned that, there's a checkbox in the Compiz Preferences Manager where I can turn on and off window decorations. Why you would want to turn them off, I have no clue. unless you want something else, I guess, to decorate them. But when they're turned off, it makes it really hard to do anything with the windows other than, like, alt and move them with the mouse. It's really annoying. But aside from that, really cool stuff. I was listening to the Linux Action Show a couple days ago, and they were talking about some of the new effects, like one of the animation? Whatever it is. You close a window, and it folds it up into a paper airplane and throws it off the screen. And that hasn't made it into the Ubuntu repository yet, but I am definitely looking forward to seeing that. Two thumbs up for the Compass Fusion stuff. It's coming along really well. It's cool to be able to write on my screen with flames. The different ways you can page through your windows is really cool. It's just, overall, I got to give hands up, you know, two thumbs up for that. Still some little quirks to work out, though, like I said, with the way that I was running it and the systems that I'm running it on. I just don't understand why Compiz, and I think it's Compiz GNOME, has to cripple it so bad. I just don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. Pat? What are your thoughts?
Can't help you that much.
What are your thoughts, Alan? Maybe Chad has the answer.
I don't run Compiz Fusion.
Yeah, I don't run any of that much.
A lot of what you were describing sounds like my early attempts at getting Barrel up and running with it not having the little title bar at the top and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Couldn't really move the windows around. I had to wait for like 0.2 to come out or something like that before I could really use Barrel on this laptop. One thing that I have found, a little tip that might help some people out there that are stuck with proprietary video drivers on a laptop or something. If you say you got an ATI like I've got on this laptop, you download and install the proprietary ATI driver, but then blacklist it and install the generic driver, and you'll actually have some of the advanced properties of the proprietary driver, even though it's blacklisted and it's not supposed to be accessible. Somehow there's just enough of that source code that the open source Radeon driver can use it and use all of the different all the different little toys that the card has to offer.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, that's one that I like to tell people when they call in.
So did you guys change subjects up a little bit? Did you guys follow the big news last Friday?
What big news? SCO?
You don't know?
You talking about SCO?
Yeah, SCO lost their lawsuit. They came out and said that that Novell really owned Unix, and SCO has been suing them this whole time for no good reason.
Is that the big news you're talking about, Pat?
Yes, it is.
But you knew it was going to happen. What's that noise in the background?
Not me.
The end for SCO.
Oh, is that you?
That's me.
Isn't that DRM restricted music?
Yeah, we can play 30 seconds of it, though.
Oh, 10 seconds.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Okay, that's enough.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of brouhaha out there, concern and speculation that, you know, now that Novell has, that's been established that they have the rights. There's concern that they might use those against Linux at some time in the future, or Microsoft may, you know, attempt to buy Novell and place, you know, the Linux community in jeopardy again. I'm not sure that they'd be able to actually ever do that, but that's some of the thunder
Microsoft
I've heard.
Actually owned the rights to Unix about 25 years ago.
Yeah, for Xenix.
Remember Xenix?
Link used to run Xenix. Link still loved. Link loved Xenix. He said that I just wish Linux would be a little more like Xenix.
Well, I just, you know, I wish everything was like Microsoft. That's what it is.
And that's because you hate freedom. But that's okay.
Right, exactly.
When did Microsoft actually threaten Linux? Because as far as I know, they were just blowing smoke. Because they never showed us any source code.
No. There's a speculation that, you know, they might try and buy Novell or, you know, further threaten, try to attempt to threaten Linux. It is all smoke and mirrors so far, you know, blowing hot air, but...
Hot air.
Well, SCO is trading at 38 cents a share right now, so it's not looking too good for them.
Is there any chance for it to ever go back up again?
No.
Probably not.
It's just so... You know, speaking.
Yeah, what's that announcement?
Huh.
I wouldn't bet on SCO being around that much longer.
I hadn't bet on him being around this long, honestly, but, you know.
That's why you're always wrong, Link.
Yep.
And that's why you hate freedom.
Right.
And freedom hates you. You know what other things that that I've heard come up a lot in the past couple of weeks is
not at all, but I bet you're going to tell us.
I'm going to tell you. We've had the transition of Dell going from IdeaStorm to selling Linux based systems, and people complaining about it and everything. And one of the things that I've heard more than once from a lot of people is Dell is doing this, one, as a loss leader to entice more people to come to their website to check this out, and eventually with the result of more Windows machines being sold. And I don't get the logic there, but have you guys been hearing that too?
Who said it? Some retard on like Dig or like Slashdot or something?
I've seen it off of some articles on Alexa. I heard it off of
comments on that.
Windows Weekly. When I listen to that stuff at work.
You actually listen to that?
Yes, I do sometimes. I just want to hear what's going on the other side. I've heard.
You listen to Mac Break Weekly.
No, I don't listen. I can't. You know what? I can't stomach that anymore. I can barely listen to with the Windows Weekly. I cannot. But, you know, there's just such like a kind of like a backlash to Dell selling these Linux machines, not just from the Linux community, but, you know, not just from outside the Linux community, but also from inside the Linux community, of a lot of, you know, really vocal people who just don't seem to be happy with what they're offering at this point, and they want more, they want it their way. Then you have the other side saying, well, you know, Dell might be selling these, but they're, you know, they don't really look to make any kind of profit off of this, and this is just a, you know, a loss leader for Dell, and that's just the way it can.
Microsoft Windows,
right? You know, I just don't get the logic there. I mean, it's just of people thinking along those lines. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, I remember when Dell first announced that they were going to be putting Linux on some of those computers. They really didn't do it very well. I mean, they had these crappy little low-end machines, and on the page where you could check them out, there was a big banner saying, are you looking for a Windows computer? And you could click on it, and it would send you to their premium Windows computers. Evidently, they caught some flack off of that and decided to change it up. They removed the Windows banner, and it's been a while since I've seen that site, but it looks somewhat better.
You know, see, here's the thing, right? I want to get my wife a new laptop in the very near future. And I absolutely, absolutely love my System 76 laptop. I would love to get the wife a System 76 laptop. But when I look at the System 76 laptops and I compare them to the laptops that Dell is offering and price and everything, Dell is significantly cheaper, which is hard because, like I
like $150, $200.
Significantly cheaper for the system that they're offering, which makes it really difficult to, you know what I'm saying? For, you know, same machine running, you know, for a machine running Ubuntu. But System 76, great, you know, they make great systems. I don't know. It's tough, you know, and Dell, you know, in my eyes, Dell has kind of started to blaze the trail, and you're seeing other companies start to follow. Isn't Lenovo offering one? And HP is offering, you know, laptops now, or will be with Linux install. I mean, you got a wave coming here.
I'm still waiting to see why is this a big deal. Didn't they do the same exact thing like back when Linux World Expo in Boston when we were there?
Oh, wait, are you talking about the Lenovo offer?
It was SLED, right? And it was like a $3,000 laptop.
Yeah, but I think Lenovo's offering a more more economical solution now, or supposed to be.
$2,800 laptop?
No, you see, they can't afford to do that stuff anymore. And the reason why is because Dell is offering, you know, reasonably priced laptops with Linux on it. So in order to be competitive, they're going to have to do the same. And it's been, you know, in the last month, it's been, you know, vendor after vendor who have jumped on that bandwagon. And it's really cool to see. You know, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, and you got the one laptop per child computer, laptop coming out. You got the Asus EEE PC 720 coming out that looks really good. You have the OpenMoco phones coming out in the near future. I mean, it's just a cornucopia of Linux goodness coming down the pike.
My sister was asking me, she's looking to get a laptop, and she was asking me, and I was like,
buy a Mac?
You know, I actually did say that. I said, check out the Dells with the Linux pre-installed. She is somewhat familiar with Ubuntu. I'm like, if you don't like the Linux machine, get an Apple, I told her, because it'll be just less headaches than any Windows solution.
The truth is coming out with Pat. He's an Apple apologist. You know it deep down inside. He's drinking the Apple Kool-Aid over there.
I'm just looking at this from someone who's non-technical. You know, she's not a complete idiot, but I told her, do not get a Vista machine. Do not get a Windows Vista machine. That's all I was saying.
Just whatever machine you buy, just make sure it's not Windows.
It's not Windows ready. Well, the Chad says all our machines are Vista ready now. Are they? Are they, Chad? Bastard.
Pretty much all of our new ones. They've tried to phase out all the ones that were pre-Vista, I guess. The some of the socket 939s are still hanging around on the AMDs, and we still have people trying to install Vista on them. We got to tell them, sorry, there's not going to be any driver support.
There you go.
I'm definitely curious to check out those flash-based machines just to see if they would be worth it, you know, because they're cheap the way they're talking about it. What, like $200 or something?
Yeah, what is it? The the 4 gigs, 200, the 8 gigs, 300.
Gonna have to get me one of them, boys and girls.
Yeah, I'd like to check that out.
Yeah, have you seen some of our Vista motherboards? They got that little screen duo where you can access your computer without turning it on. I'm waiting for somebody to come up with a way for Linux to use that.
That's been around forever, like on Sun machines.
What?
Like years, right?
Has
right,
it?
Mike?
The what?
The ability to,
I have
to
no
like
idea
actually
to
go into. There's a way to go into the system without actually booting up. I forget what it's called. It's been ages since I've
was that like
the post configuration and stuff?
No, the Sun boxes.
Yeah,
if it goes down, even if you can't get into it normally, you can always get in through the Ethernet port. You can always get a terminal and you can restart the machine that way if it crashes or
right, you get
up
a serial terminal and go through your post configuration and reboot it from there.
No, you can actually do it, though. You can actually log into the machine, you know, and get a normal terminal, even if the machine is hung up.
right.
on it, and it just goes in. It's just enough to reboot the machine.
A console port, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we got
that's
some
forever.
We got some comments on.
But evidently, these screen duos, you can actually log in and check your email and pull up a web browser and hit a couple of different websites. I don't really know all the details. I haven't been able to get my hands on one yet because they're on the most expensive premium boards.
Wait, what does it do for you?
Well, it interacts with Windows Vista somehow. A number of our laptops had it where it's a screen on the front and you can check your email. You can play music and stuff like that without having to open it up and turn on the laptop. And they got some of the Vista Edition premium boards that have a more than likely it's just going to be an extra little toy. I can't really see it being put to any practical use.
So on the top of the laptop, it has another screen on there, like a smaller LCD screen, and some buttons nearby that you could just like press a button and it'll check your email. Kind of like a multimedia keyboard buttons on the other side.
Yeah, something like that.
So the machine's still obviously turned on, right?
No, the machine's powered down, turned off. It powers on that little screen duo. It uses a lot less power, and it doesn't actually boot into the system. It just accesses certain little preset items, from what I understand.
I'd be interested to see how that actually works without booting into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So if it... That would mean it would be like running a modular version of Windows.
Essentially, yeah, that's what it is.
But I thought Windows wasn't modular.
Yeah, I know. Well, Vista sure isn't modular.
Huh.
Never seen such a clunky, bulky operating system.
I don't know. Well, there were some people saying that there were complaints about the... I think it was the EEE PC720 system that the user interface looked like crap. And I will admit, when I first looked at the user interface, the what's called the easy interface was not appealing to me, but there is a, quote, advanced interface, which is almost a standard KDE desktop. It's a little pared down. I think they removed some of the... cruft on there, or a lot of, you know, and you could probably customize it back to the way you want it, but it was kind of slimmed down, and I thought it looked really nice. I'm really, you know, kind of interested in seeing more of this EEE PC720 from Asus. And That's right, huh? It looks great, man. Chad, your company's doing good. And you're doing a hell of a job over there. It's people like you that make it easier for the rest of the world to run Linux. And for that, I salute
you. I try to get back to the community in any way I can.
And make a paycheck on top of it. That's all that matters.
Good stuff. I believe that Richard Stallman would have issue with that.
There's no issue with that. As long as... as long as you do it with liberty in mind.
Mm-hmm. Can be an open source company and still pull a profit. There's no law against that.
It's people like Link who hate freedom that can't understand that.
Damn straight.
You want to bring up anything else, Mr. Davila, over there, so we can complain?
This is turning into a bitch fest.
And so we can poke holes in it. And your lies. You think we'll ever have RMS on again? Do you think he would actually agree to come on again?
I don't know. He came on the second time.
I don't know, but you think the third time's going to be a charm?
I don't know.
You're like, hell no, man. Link hates freedom. Hey, where are we at with getting Mad Dog on?
Actually, on the forum, I think it was Greg, he posted about these thin Linux clients. There was two of them. One of them was from this company called Kulu, and the other one is called Zombo. The Kulu one, is they're based up in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Mad Dog is with them, and he's working with those guys. And it looks like a pretty interesting product. Actually, I was trading emails with the main guy today. We'll probably have them on to talk about the Kulu thin client Linux boxes. And then the other one, the Zombo one, I think that's a Gentoo based thin client as well. What they're doing is they're selling them for, I think, $99, and there's like a monthly subscription fee. They're kind of aiming it as like, you know, grandma's, you know,
the quote green PC, right?
Hook up to the internet kind of deal.
Hey, isn't it like the green PC or something like that they were saying?
Yeah, yeah. They're really small devices, you know, small embedded processors, like, you know, 500 megahertz, 900 megahertz. I actually put some links up on the RSC, and also if you look in the forum, you'll see the links too. The thread is called, I just got an email from John Maddock Hall, so. I'm going to try to talk to both those guys. We'll get both of them on to talk about them. They both look like really interesting products.
Make sure they send one to us first.
I'd like to review one, man. That would be pretty damn cool.
Doesn't do us any good to say, oh, yeah, what's it like? And they all say, oh, it's wonderful, when we have no freaking idea what it's like. So tell them we need to have, send some out. I'll let them know if it's a grandma-worthy product.
Because I know, Link, you're really into the Mac Mini kind of deal, right?
I like my Mac Mini. It's very underpowered, but it's pretty cool.
Check out the websites for both those products, man. They look interesting. I've actually seen some videos of it, and it looks pretty nice. That would be a pretty sweet thing to do, you know, for, like, the kids. Have, like, a thin Linux client running, connected to a server, you know?
Absolutely.
Might have to look into that down the road. Have any guys played with Linux during that server project at all?
I'm still waiting for you to buy a machine for me to do that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But now that we're getting Acer sponsorship, woo, thanks, Chad.
Sponsor. I don't have a problem with that.
I would love to try playing around with it, but I don't really have a machine that I can, you know what I mean?
Well, you got a server. All you need is one of those thin clients.
Well, it's not exactly true. When you're talking about server, you have to kind of quantify that a little bit, because I have a server too. Only, you know, my server is a piece of shit broken laptop. And if you're talking about running thin client stuff, you have to have a really beefy, you know, fast server in order to run.
Reasonably, depending on how many clients are running.
Well, you know, I've tried to do that kind of stuff before, and with a general purpose machine, that just doesn't cut it. You know, you can run like one client worth of stuff on it, maybe two if you really weren't using it very hard. But you know, you really can't compare it to servers that are made for that kind of thing. You know, you see some with those Windows servers that do that stuff, Windows terminal servers, and those things are just monsters, you know.
Should probably get those guys on again, the Linux Terminal Server Project. We had them on a long time ago, and we actually ran into the guy at the Linux World Expo in Boston a couple of years back, so I'm going to have to talk to them again. It's been a while since we...
Yeah, and that's some really interesting stuff. I really wish that
it's an awesome project.
A server that was beefy enough to run that. Hell, I wish I had a server beefy enough to run, you know, three or four VMware instances on.
That's a great solution for, like, you know, like school districts, you know, that have, like, old machines.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they run them as thin clients on the front and just get a couple, you know, servers on the back end.
Huge beefy server on the back end and run all your stuff off of there. That's a great idea.
No. You know, I want to bring something up before. And speaking of missing stuff, our guest last week, Ken Helios, had alluded to there being some interesting, possibly shady, developments coming down the pike from Linspire. The whole way that Kevin Carmody was leaving Linspire and everything. What was your guys' take on that? I mean,
we don't have all the facts, you know?
Do you think it's going to be something ugly?
Could be. Anything is possible. Isn't Carmody going to work for, like, Mitt Romney's campaign or something?
Yeah, and a few other things. But, I don't know. I mean, is it going to be ugly for the Linux community or ugly for Linspire?
I would think it would be ugly for Linspire. It already is ugly for Linspire. Those guys, you know, they try to, you know, work things out and with the community, and they always wind up shooting themselves in the foot, it seems. They're like the worst enemy, you know?
Too bad for them.
I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if maybe it's not going to turn out to be like Microsoft Linux, you know? It's hard to speculate, but I'm wondering.
I don't know. I don't know. Would Microsoft even begin to legitimize it that far by trying to...
I think at some point they're going to have to.
And how much of an embrace and extend do you think they'll take with that? Will it be very incompatible with other versions?
Don't know.
And how could they do that without...
I'm sure if Microsoft was in control of a version of Linux, then...
They'd fork it
and
make it proprietary?
Yeah, they would do
anything
possible. Like
kind of like what they did with Java?
Possible. Exactly. They would do anything
remember what they did with Java?
To make sure that it was not compatible with anything else.
They basically came out with their own version of Java. They called it J++. They started implementing their own like APIs and libraries. So much to the point that if you coded a program for J++, it wouldn't work with a standard Java virtual machine. They would probably try to do the same kind of nonsense. Now, they got sued by Sun over that, and they lost.
Yes, they did.
Well, I guess we'll find out in the next couple of months. See how things shake out. Now, the new version of FreeSpire is based off of Ubuntu.
That's what they say.
I wonder how that's all going to shake out.
I haven't looked at it. To be honest, I have no desire to look at it, but like Helios is saying, you know, he deals with a lot of noobs. That's really what it's geared towards.
Sounds like something like that Linux XP, where it looks like it's Fedora-based, and it tries to mimic Windows XP.
Yeah, I've heard of that stuff. Didn't Redmond Linux try to do
that?
That
for about 5 minutes.
Wasn't Xandros like trying to do that too? They kind of made it as Windows-like as possible.
I think so.
They even went so far as to like have like a C drive and a D drive kind of deal for the directories.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
They had something going. I don't know if it was Wine or what it was, but Windows programs would somehow run. It appeared natively.
Probably crossover in the background.
Probably something like that. And the same thing went on when I played with that Linux XP.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. To be honest, I can see where they try to get like you know Windows users to try it. You know, it's another operating system that's as Windows-like as possible. You know, personally, I would prefer if Linux went in a completely different direction that was new and try not to mimic Windows so much.
You know, it's kind of a shame that the whole way everything shook out with Linspire. Because, you know, I think they did some good stuff. You know, they tried. They made some big mistakes, I think, along the way. But, you know, they tried. And who knows? I hope it still does work out.
Well, we'll see.
This is what will happen. Linspire won't be bought by Microsoft. Ubuntu will be bought by Microsoft.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mark Shuttleworth has no reason to sell Canonical, you know. No reason. What he's worth, man, there's no reason to do that.
I'd be like, I had enough. Here you go, Billy. Bomber. They'll buy Ubuntu, and some way they'll work their way back upstream, and Microsoft will acquire all the rights to Debian. And then it'll be called the MS GNU Linux.
And Richard Stallman will be happy.
No, I think he'd die. He'd probably pass out, die of a stroke from there.
As long as the GNU is in there, he's happy.
And they'll have a free version, which will have no kernel drivers. Kernel modules. And they'll have the...
No office suite.
Nothing. They'll have the MS...
Buy your office suite.
The MS GNU
They'll call
Debian
it the
Rex.
Microsoft Hurdle, right?
Yeah. And they'll sell that. And then we'll all have to move to BSD. That's the way it goes. Or Slackware. Slackware will be the only distribution left after Microsoft acquires all the others. Be the final holdout. The only distro left. Slackware and Arch. And by default, by extension, Vector. And Gentoo.
I can't really see Microsoft acquiring Red Hat.
There'll be a mysterious fire, and the corporate headquarters of Red Hat will disappear off the face of the earth.
I saw this one Dilbert comic. Somebody showed it to me. It had this little old lady sitting on the couch sending a flaming email to Bill Gates saying, "Hi, I wrote this using Linux." And Dilbert talks to Dogbert, and he says, "I'm tracking some missiles incoming," and they launch a bunch of attorneys off a catapult down. It was kind of weird.
I think I saw that. We don't have a song for tonight.
Bill Gates sitting in a little Star Trek style commander's chair.
Want to upload something, Dad?
Yeah, go ahead, upload something. Dad. Yeah, I've seen some of those there, Chad. They're pretty good. Ooh. So you play World of Warcraft, Chad?
No, I'm not really into the online gaming. I don't really have the time.
Quit your job. Nah, it sounds like you have a really good job there. Now, your brother, the Windows guy, does he work in the technology field too?
Yeah, he works for Kindred Healthcare.
Is he like on? Is he a Windows admin or?
He's, I think he's like desktop support or something like that.
And he doesn't use Linux at all?
Nope. Won't touch it.
Was
he desktop support and he likes Microsoft? Well, I guess he has job security, right?
I guess.
Always something to fix.
Oh, yeah, always.
Why is he afraid?
Who knows? I mean, he was in the army as well, and he had to mess with Solaris, and that was enough like Linux. I guess he didn't like it.
See, that's what it is. Solaris scared him. Solaris scares lots of people.
But now there's Open Solaris.
he was talking about when they had to install Solaris from scratch, it took him something like 6 hours.
That's about what it takes for a Windows install, though.
Yeah.
With all the rebooting and everything else.
I saw a blog posting today, and they claimed that a full Vista install with the updates took an hour, exactly.
I saw that, too. That was that one that where the guy was comparing Vista with Feisty, right?
Yep.
Does this computer have its own, like, T3 line to the internet or something like that?
Well, he said that it took, like, 23 minutes to boot into the installation and then, like, another 20 to install.
You know what? I bet he's not counting the time when the computer isn't running. So since they have to go through those 15 reboots, that's probably 50 minutes worth of reboots that he's just not counting altogether.
You got me, man. I don't know. I read the article, but I was more interested to hear what he had to say about Linux and about how long it took to install Vista or what he actually did. But what was his conclusion? That it was easier to install Linux than Vista, but it was easier to configure Vista than Ubuntu? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know if that's critical bullshit on that. It's hard to say, you know? I haven't touched Vista. I have no reason to install it.
I had to watch somebody install it.
How much
really
did it take?
With 1 gig of RAM, I think it took about an hour, hour and a half, something like that.
Now, do you have to reboot like you used to do, like in XP? You know, you do like driver and
stuff? I think there was once or twice where it had to reboot. But for the most part, it just ran really, really slow. Just because we only had 1 gig of RAM available.
Only?
I mean, once we got it up and running, we would go in and he was trying to show off DVDs and stuff, how they had Media Center built in, and he starts playing his DVD and it starts skipping and stuff because it didn't have enough RAM.
One of my coworkers, she had a brand new Sony laptop with Vista running, and it was dog slow, man.
Yeah, he was saying, he was trying to defend it, saying, well, it wouldn't be like if we had another gig of RAM. I said, it wouldn't be like it if you put Linux on it. I said, if you had, you know, 512 in that thing with Linux on it, it would be faster than that.
Vista.
Everybody's saying that if Linux becomes mainstream because people hate Vista, that they're going to start writing viruses for Linux. Somehow I can't see how that will work. As often as the distros come out with a new version, the virus just won't be able to keep up.
Yeah, I just...
the virus. Please type in your terminal, RM.
Did someone try to run, like, a Windows virus in, like, I don't know, was it Wine or in VMware? I think it was in a Wine session, wasn't it? And the thing wouldn't run correctly?
Oh, yeah, I remember reading that somewhere.
It was a while back that they did that.
Yeah, I remember reading that like a year or so ago. Wine refused to run the virus.
Well, a lot of viruses wouldn't have any effect in Linux because you have to authenticate as root to do anything. They have no access to get in and harm anything. Unless you're stupid enough to give them root access. Then you deserve what you get.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, huh?
Yeah. And I keep Fedora on my laptop and not worry about viruses.
That's the way to do it.
Yep. Better than having to install Norton's.
What does Asus recommend for antivirus?
I think some of the motherboards will have I think it was like either Panda or PC Selling or something like that. It's bundled with the support CD. But if you got Vista, of course it doesn't work because it only works on Windows XP or older. I think Microsoft shot themselves in the foot and they made it where a lot of the old programs weren't compatible.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Well, we got a few minutes left. We got 5 minutes worth of songs. Because Pat's got to have 2 songs every week now.
Yes. Before we go to songs, next week we're talking to Doug Edline, who we know. He's a local over here. He's Mr. Cluster. He knows a lot about clusters, and that should be a really good discussion regarding Linux clusters. I don't know that much about Linux clusters myself, so I'm looking forward to that. We also have Bill Hurd coming up, who's a former Commodore engineer who's got some great stories we hear. And then in October, I've lined up the band Warp 11, the Star Trek theme band, who we happen to be playing 2 songs tonight. We got Trekkie Girl, which is not a work-safe song, and we also have the song Warp 11. These guys, the music is not Creative Commons. They are on a small label. They've given us permission to play their music, so you can listen to it. But please don't share. Go out and buy the album. The website is warp11.com, and that'll be it.
Anybody else for any last words?
Thanks for listening.
Donuts.
Thank you for coming on tonight, Chad.
Is there anything they can't do?
Yes, thank you, Chad.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
For coming. I had a great time.
It was great having you on, and keep up the great work. And maybe we could touch base with you again in the near future. Make sure you send me an email so I get your address. And I already sent you one. Okay, I will keep an eye out for that. Great.
Just send it again and again because Dan doesn't check his email. So.
Dan checks
the Trekkie Girl is not work safe. There are some 4-letter words in there.
Oh no.
Funny stuff, man. It's really good stuff.
Excellent. All right. We'll be back again next week. And thank you for everybody for listening. And
thanks for listening to show 205.
205. I was going to ask about 205.
And how would Dave Yates end it? He would say, keep it between the
digits.
There you go. Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah. Have a happy
night, everybody.
Here we go to Trekkie Girl and Warp 11 by Warp 11. Oh, darn it. Headed in the wrong hole. Here we go. Trekkie Girl and Warp 11 by Warp 11.
She knows every episode. She wear the boots that go, go, go. She got a red mini skirt. She made me play Captain Kirk. Trekkie Girl, Trekkie Girl. We go to convention. She gives me erections. Girl, my Trekkie Girl. She paints her skin green and it's not Halloween. She rocks my brand new world. She always acts illogical. She doesn't bubble with the space shuttle. Oh, God.
We can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint you a fine ass? Mm. Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Just shut up. It's over.